Opinions expressed on ACB Media are those of the respective program contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views held by the American Council of the Blind, its elected officials, or its staff.
Welcome to the Hall of Fame History Project as we celebrate our 90th anniversary.
Ken Metz.
Ken joined CCB in 1971.
As a member of CCB, he was very busy, but he has two grown children, six grandchildren. He worked for Pac Bell for 21 years, which is now AT&T. When he worked for Pac Bell, he started out as a operator. So he used the machine. It pulsed on his finger when he passed the light. It was a light probe, and he used it to find the plug to be able to plug in where it needed to plug in to connect people to their calls. So he started out as an operator and he ended up in benefits. When he retired, he had been in benefits for probably 10 years. He went back to school to be a travel agent, and he loved working as a travel agent because he could get free trips. He actually took his embosser with him so he could braille out itineraries and stuff like that so that he could read them. And he did that for 3 years, and then he moved back to Southern California and went to work for the Department of Rehab. But as he was working as a rehab counselor, he was also serving on the board of directors with CCB. He loved advocacy. He was such a strong advocate for the blind and visually impaired. He used to fly up to Sacramento to testify about SB 105. He, at that point, was working for the Davidson Program for Independence. That's where I met him. He had served on CCB board as second vice president. He served on a convention committee. So he worked with Jeff and he worked with Gene Lozano a lot. He was so busy, but he also was funny. He liked to tell the stalest old jokes you could ever hear, but he loved people. Very humble gentleman. And my rehab counselor at that point was Robert Antunes. Told me, I sent you there to learn your skills and you came home with the director. Didn't intend to. Ken was the one who introduced me to CCB. He was president at that time. Got to learn a lot about what CCB was about, what the Greater LA chapter was about, and started to understand why he was such a strong advocate for all of us. When Jeff was president, or when Donna was president, or when Judy was president, if they needed somebody to look up something in the southern area of the state or help a student out or help somebody out, the first person they called was Ken. The one thing Ken loved was to cook. He came up with recipes. He made recipes up. I remember when he bought his turkey fryer, he would get that turkey and pretty much a lemon, an orange, anything he could find to stuff in that poor turkey. And he dropped that turkey down in that turkey fryer. Then the next thing you know, he pulls it out and he's trying to eat all the skin off. You got to leave some skin for your guests here. Ken was Russian. His grandparents one was from Odessa and one was from Russia. Came to United States in 1915. Ken was born in 1946. And he told me that his grandmother introduced him to cooking because she told him, nobody is going to do this for you. You need to learn how to cook for yourself. You need to understand how to take care of yourself. And he did. And guide dogs. Oh, well, let's not talk about the 15 guide dogs the man had. When he got his first guide dog cub, he was a big old black German shepherd. Ken was 17 or 18 when he got cub from GDB. And he worked guide dogs until he passed away in 2018. It was interesting that you guys were asking who was the guy who walked that opened the back door of somebody's car, walked through it because the guy parked was in the intersection. He just opened the back door, walked through it and got out on the other side. He was like, they were blocking the intersection. And he had his, and I think, yeah, he did have his dog. That was Ken. Ken would get lunch for the whole rehab, his whole section. And he was getting lunch one time and he had bait and the lady started petting Bay, and Ken asked her not to pet him, and she kept on. And he said, now, how would you feel if I started petting you? And he started petting her hair, and she walked away. He had his way of getting people to understand that this is my guide dog. If you don't want me to touch you, don't touch him. He worked on the Hawaii issue about taking the dogs into Hawaii with Sheila Styron and that group. He worked on making sure that we as guide dog handlers could take our dogs on any flight. We worked with GDUI to make sure that they put some place in all the airports to relieve the dogs. One of his best friends was Marlena Liebert, and she died, ironically, 2 days after he did. There's actually a scholarship, I think, and it's the Marlena Liebert Ken Metz Communications Certificate. He loved CCB. When he got sick, we went to the convention. He and Sarah ran against each other for second vice president of CCB, and Ken won. When he got lost in the house, I knew something was wrong. He had had a mild stroke, and we found out that he had MRSA, and it was all over the heart valve. Two things that he told me. One, find your niche. Find what you want to work with. Don't follow me. Don't do what I do. Find what you want to do. And two, don't let anybody change your mind from that. And I did. That's why I am now vice president of IDC, because I believe in building bridges amongst all races in the state of California, blind and visually impaired. He taught me how to be patient with people. He made people feel welcome and want to belong and help out and work. You know, it's not easy, but I still want to give what I can back to CCB.
Frank Silva. Frank Silva was instrumental in founding the East Bay Center for the Blind. He led that organization for years. He and his wife, Georgina, worked together, but he is known for that great service, and the institution still exists today and is going strong. It's wonderful that we have early pioneers like Frank Silva to thank for that.
We'll be back later with another episode from our Hall of Fame History Project.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you all for coming. Welcome to the Saturday morning session for our 2024 California Council of the Blind Conference and Convention as we celebrate our 90th year. And gosh, I'm really enjoying these vignettes. I know a lot of us are. Some folks that I know, some folks that I don't know. So it's really been great. Thanks to the crew that put all that together. We've got a great day in store for you. Don't forget this afternoon from 1:30 to 3:30, we have a session on paratransit, which is a real hot topic. In fact, we'll be having a resolution at our business meeting tomorrow with that. And then our awards tonight, 5:30 to 7. Of course, the business meeting tomorrow morning. This morning, we're going to start off with the ACB Get Up and Get Moving campaign. We all know a lot of blind folks, myself included, are not maybe moving as much as we should, especially with sitting here in front of Zoom. But Leslie Spoon from ACB is here to talk to us all about the Get Up and Get Moving campaign. Leslie, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you for having me, and thank you to Andrea. I really appreciate it. All right, so it's kind of weird saying good morning. I'm in Florida, and it's already afternoon for me. But good morning to you guys. So, yay. 90 years, that's amazing. Happy birthday, I'll say. So 90 and young, right? Staying young with Get Up and Get Moving. So I'm talking a little bit to you guys about the American Council of the Blind, Get Up and Get Moving. I know we all kind of use the alphabet soup, so it is known as ACBGUGM. So that's our alphabet soup for the day. So if you don't do anything else in your workout, you can work out your mouth by saying that alphabet soup title. So it is a wonderful, we were a campaign when we started, when COVID started, everybody was, you know, had to stay home, and what were we going to do? A community events happened, started, which was wonderful, with Cindy Hollis and her team. And Tony Stevens had this wonderful idea at that time, our development director, and said, let's start a Get Up and Get Moving campaign to get people moving, because we were all home. We could all be on Zoom and move together, which was a really, really cool idea. So, kind of fast forward to today, we have now come from a campaign to a committee. So we are a committee now. Connie Sims and myself are the co-chairs of the committee. Our committee chair was Tom Tobin, and he has stepped down now. So it is, we reformed again. And so it's Connie Sims and myself as the co-chairs. And then we have Dan Dillon on, and Peggy Garrett, and Jeanette Kutash, Cecily Laney Nipper. And we have Jolynn Bailey Page as our staff, and Claire Stanley as our staff now, and Dan Spoon as our staff. So if anybody's interested in coming on, we'd love to have you. Please reach out to Connie Sims or myself. We have three subcommittees under Get Up and Get Moving. It's the membership and affiliates, which we come to some of the conventions in the ACB world, and sometimes work out and sometimes just chat about what we've been doing. So that's one of them. We are having a lot of stuff happen at convention. So if you're coming to convention, check us out. It'll be in the calendar. We're going to have a session on a little workout and aromatherapy with Connie and myself, and some testimonials from some wonderful people that their life journey and fitness journey has taken them on to. So that'll be a convention. And we're also doing the peer walk on, I believe, Saturday night. So stay tuned for that. That'll be one of our events, and then other events we're having as well. So lots of fun events. Love to get up and get moving. I don't know if you guys know, my background is in fitness, so I love to get up and get moving. And I'm on the community events. So if you ever want to come and work out, come and check the community calendar out and catch me. I'm every day at 4 p.m. Eastern, which is 1 p.m. Pacific your time. So come and check me out. We also have the other subcommittee, which is advocacy, and that's a really growing, and a lot's going on in the advocacy world with all our imperatives that we had in our DC Leadership Conference this year, and with technology and getting the equipment accessible and helping us get to our doctor's visits and do telehealth. So there's a lot of advocacy work going on with Get Up and Get Moving. If you're interested in that, please reach out to Connie Sims. And then we also have our sponsorship committee, subcommittee under Dan Dillon, and that's with our health heroes that we do. In the past, we've had three health heroes, which was Nike, Walmart, and American Printing House. And we've just revised our sponsorship letter to go out to corporations to see if they'd like to come on as a health hero. So that's pretty much it. If anybody's interested, please reach out to one of us. We'd always love to have new blood and new excitement, and you know, to get up and get moving and keep you young and keep you fit. And you know, we think of fitness, Steve, as, oh my gosh, it's a workout, I don't want to work out, you know. It's really your life journey. It's really, you know, walking or marching or clapping your hands. Whatever you can do in your fitness journey and your life is working out. Talking is working out. Laughing. You're using different muscles. So don't think about workout as a bad word or exercise. So again, if you do want to come and join us, we'd love to have you. We do have a Facebook page. It is going to be revised and updated, but we do have a Facebook page. So come look us, Get Up and Get Moving Facebook. And I can open up for questions, Steve. I can do whatever you need me to do. And I really appreciate you having me, and Andrea. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, great. Yeah. So you talk about a Saturday night event and different. Do you guys have events where folks can, you know, get together and share, you know, if somebody is doing a particular type of exercise? Do you have any kind of pairing up of folks, or how does all that work?
We don't really have that per se, but we have the Facebook page. So, you know, you can go on the Facebook page and we can see that and kind of reach out to that person, or they can always reach out to Connie and myself, and we can get back with them. But at convention, you know, I'm sure we can all hook up and do something together or talk about our life journeys and fitness journeys. And like I said, we are going to have our session on Tuesday afternoon on July, I think it's 5th. Don't quote me on that date, but it's Tuesday. So I believe it's July 5th is Friday. Sorry, July 8th or 9th. Sorry about that.
No. Yeah, convention is later this year than it usually is. It's actually after the 4th of July, so right, it's kind of confusing. So,
I know. Yeah, so I think it's July 8th or 9th, that Tuesday, and it's at 2:30 p.m. where we're going to do – Connie Sims is going to do her aromatherapy, and I'm going to do some fitness, light fitness, either, you know, yoga or a little resistance or something, and then we've got some testimonials from our committee. So,
all right, for everybody going to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Andrew, do we have any raised hands?
And I am here.
Oh, hi, Debbie.
Hi. I have two questions. One's really simple. Is your contact information for the Get Up and Get Moving initiative an ACB committee or something is on the ACB website that I can contact?
Sure, yes. It is an ACB committee, and I believe we are on the committee page now. So if not, I can give my information to Andrea and she can give it to you.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Great. I have your information. So that sounds good. So my other question is a little more complicated. Y'all talked at our convention last year about Get Up and Get Moving and left a couple email addresses. And I emailed those addresses and I said, I got so motivated. I created an exercise quote recording quote called Office Moves. Exercises you can do at your desk.
Wonderful.
And I wanted to put it out in the public domain, and I was hoping like ACB Media might play it sometime. But when I contacted the committee, nobody got back to me. And I really would like to share this with some people so that they can have exercises they can do at their desk.
Sure. Why don't you send that to me? It's Debbie, right? Debbie?
Yeah, I'm Debbie Armstrong. I'll send it to you.
Okay, please send it to me. That would be great. We did go under some transition with the committee, and we were down for a while. We were dormant for a little bit, and now we're back up and moving. So, So I apologize for that, that it got, you know, kind of shuffled around. But definitely please send it to me, and I'll share it with the committee, and then we'll put it out wherever we can.
No problem. I'll go back on mute. Thank you.
Thank you. Steve, just want to tell everybody, if you're not subscribed to the ACB community, it's community@acb.org, and that'll give you the calendar of events each day. And I am on there Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern. And Friday is happy hour cardio at 3:30 p.m. Eastern. So it's 12:30 you guys' time. So it's a lot of fun. I'm not like a normal classes where you don't talk at all. We talk, we laugh, and have a really, really good time. And it's not hard. And we always break down the moves. And if you don't know, everybody says, "Hey, stop." So we really break it down. So it's a lot of fun. Come try it out. You know, check out the community.
Yeah, that's a lot of good things going on there for sure. So 1 p.m. Pacific time. We have any more raised hands, Andrea?
We do. Artists, go ahead, please.
Yes, I wanted to ask, have you ever thought about having a partner program where you get two or three people that are interested in the same goals? Like, it could be losing weight, it could be just doing more exercise per day, which would inspire people to do it more, because I know you have your group activities, but I think, you know, sometimes one-on-one or just a couple people together, you know, sometimes might work better.
That's a good thought. And yeah, so Artis, thank you. I have thought about that. We might be able to do that and, either do it. It's easier to do it at convention. Probably if people were going to go, we probably could do something like that or, you know, on Zoom. Let me noodle on that, 'cause I've actually thought about that myself, because there are people that need a little bit more one-on-one. And I always offer one-on-one. So if you're interested, just reach out to me, because I am a personal trainer. So I love to do one-on-ones. But if you're interested, that would be fine. But great, great thoughts. Thank you.
Okay. And who do we have next?
Okay. We have a phone number, 818.
Good morning, everybody. This is Pam Metz. Leslie, hi, how are you?
Hi, good morning.
I had a question. I'm looking for, I have lost 165 pounds.
Congratulations.
And since January, I have a skin removal surgery. And I'm looking for, do you guys offer any, I know it's get up and get moving. The doctor wants me to maintain the weight I'm at right now. Any just toning, keeping things toned type of exercises?
Yes, I do my resistance classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, and that's 1 p.m. your time.
That's early.
Okay. Or you can call me, and I'd be willing to, maybe map out a workout plan for you. You can do it on your own. Or
okay,
we can,
and then...
Sorry?
The other question was, the get up and get moving, it is a committee, I understand that, but are you guys working on trying to help people come up with different types of exercise plans and things like that?
We're not as of yet. I can take that back to the committee, but that's probably going to be okay. Under my, because I'm the one that's the certified aerobic instructor and trainer on the committee. So that'd probably be under my domain, but please contact me. And we can set up something and I can set you up a plan.
Okay. I will. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. And congrats on the life journey.
It's a journey.
It is.
Okay. So we have, who's next?
Christy Crespin. Hi. So with ROP comes a lot of other stuff, including, I have a very difficult time understanding when people talk about body movements and things, I don't understand concepts. And I know that you have worked with me during ACB conventions, so I don't understand the directions that are being given, so I don't do workouts because I'm afraid to do it wrong. Mm-hmm. And hurt my body. So I'm not sure what to do in terms of that one-on-one showing me how to create those movements in my body. I don't understand angles and that kind of thing. So I don't know if other people are like me, but I just really have a hard time coming onto workouts because I don't get it.
So let me ask you a question. I'm just going to give you a sequence, okay?
Mm-hmm.
See if you can just understand what I say. I'm just going to say it. You may not understand it at all. It's probably going to sound foreign to you. Then I'm going to break it down for you, okay?
Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I'm going to say step touch, right and left. Grapevine, right and left. Do a V-step, right. So V-step, right. V-step, left. Step touch left. Do you understand anything I'm saying?
Not really.
Okay. I'm going to break it down for you. So I'm going to say the first move, Christy, is step touch. You're going to take your right foot out to three. Both your feet are going to be together when you start. Your right foot's going to go out to 3 o'clock. Your left foot is going to meet your right foot. Your left foot will now go out to 9 o'clock. Your right foot will meet your left foot. That is your step touch.
Okay.
You will pick it up a little bit more than what I just said. So
right.
Okay, but that's the gist of this. That's called a step touch. Okay. So you understood that when I broke that down. Okay.
Yeah.
The grapevine. You're going to step your right foot out to 3 o'clock. Your left foot will cross behind your right foot. Your right foot will go back out to 3 o'clock. Your left foot will meet it. Your left foot will go out to 9 o'clock. Your right foot will cross behind your left foot. Your left foot will go back out to 9 o'clock. Your right foot will touch it. That's a grapevine.
Does when you're crossing behind, are you crossing flat-footed on your toes?
Correct.
Flat-footed?
Mm-hmm. Flat. Okay. You never go on your toes unless you're doing dance moves.
Okay.
Everything I do is flat-footed, unless I start getting crazy. me. I go on the toes. So I would say for you, what I would do is call me. I could put some stuff together and then you could learn it. Once you learn it and you get bored, we could add more to it.
Okay.
I understand what you're saying, because there are some people in your position. So I really, really break it down that way. We've used the clock that way. I'll say for the V step, step your right foot up to 12 o'clock, up to, whoops, sorry, 1 o'clock, if I get the time right. Your left foot up to 11 o'clock, uh-huh. Your right foot back to 6 o'clock, your left foot back to 6 o'clock.
Yeah, that would help.
That's a V step.
Okay.
And I always say V for victory, because we're all victory.
Yeah.
So there's a lot we could do. It'll just take a little bit, and that's perfectly fine, because it's a journey for everybody. That's what I'm saying. I may know what I'm doing, and sometimes when I teach, I teach it, and I forget to tell people too. So,
do you have a cheat sheet?
A cheat sheet?
Yeah. Do you have like a cheat sheet?
I don't, but I could write some stuff up for you and send an email. I've done that for people also.
Yeah, because I'm not thinking just about me. I'm thinking about a lot of other people might be in my situation that would really help to know what you mean by and explaining it in that way.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, either a cheat sheet or like an audio file that would give instructions like that somebody could play and go, oh yeah, okay, that's what she means by, you know, child pose or downward dog, or 90 degrees means your arms are like this, or I was trying to use the bands and I couldn't. I was like, I don't know how to do this. So,
yeah. Sure. That's a great idea. I'll do that. Thank you. Thanks for the suggestions. Uh-huh. Yay. You just gave me lots of homework. Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Who's our next raised hand?
Okay, next we have Lori Kastner.
My friend Lori.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
I wanted to comment that many years ago, I took yoga on a TV show. It was called Hatha Yoga in You, and the presenter came out with a Braille book which had raised line drawings of all the moves. And she was also very descriptive on the television. And that's what got me involved with exercise. But and several years ago, there was an organization called Blind Alive. And they produced, you had to purchase them, but they produced all sorts of exercise. I would say, I think they were like on the SD cards. And they had very lengthy programs, one that would describe all the exercises, and the next that paired with it would take you through the routine. And they went out of business, and I started doing Pilates when I was getting their materials. So I wonder if you've ever thought about revisioning that idea of creating materials for purchase where people could buy workouts.
It's a good thought. I've had people ask me to do videos. I'm just not techy enough, but you know, I got Connie Sims. That's real techy. So it could happen soon. And Christy, butchering her name, has given me lots of good homework now. So, you know, it could be in the future. So I know Blind Alive was wonderful. So, but yeah. Well,
these could be just MP3 files. They wouldn't even need to be video. Sure. With blind people. And just a note, I do take Pilates. I take lessons twice a week. I ride a recumbent bike, and I do light weight training with 10-pound weights, which a 10-pound weight in one hand is a lot for a 75-year-old lady. But
wonderful. Well, come to my happy hour cardio sometime. It's
I will.
People are dancing around. So thank you.
Hey, we got any more hands?
We do not, Steve, at this point. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, Leslie, this has been really exciting, and I appreciate you coming out and getting all the new homework. And
yeah, I know. I'm excited. I got lots of good homework, lots of good suggestions. So thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
And I think the Blind Alive stuff is somewhere out there on the internet that you can download for free. At least I heard that many months ago. I don't know if it still is, but maybe somebody else is aware of that, but might be able to get those. But great. Thanks for coming. And everybody remember 1 p.m. Pacific time on in the ACB community. Sign up for the daily schedule of events, and you'll find out about Leslie's activities along with a whole bunch of other great stuff. Community at acb.org. And Leslie, gosh, appreciate you spending part of your afternoon to get us up and get moving in the morning.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. I really appreciate it. I look forward to seeing lots of you in Jacksonville. So
yes, I'm planning on being there.
Looking and I'm doing to some classes virtually. So come, you know, before the week, the virtual part for convention, I'm doing some classes. I'm doing happy hour cardio and I'm doing yoga Lattes. So if anybody's interested, so stay tuned, look in the convention calendar. So
sounds good. All right. Well, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your convention.
All righty. So moving on to our next topic, I know Tatiana is in the room. I don't see, hang on just a second, did I?
Amy Castro.
Yeah, I don't see her yet, but the next thing that we're going to be talking about is smart aging, kind of a series that we want to get going through, and today we're going to talk about two items. Actually, both of which I've really gotten a lot of benefit from. One of them is HICAP, talking about all the craziness around health insurance, and the other one is 211. I know when Amy was involved, or maybe she still is, I don't know, but several years ago, she came and talked to our Greater LA chapter about all the things you can do with 211. Even if you don't have a computer or any high technology, a lot of information can be gained from 211, and she told us a lot of that stuff. So Tatiana, can I turn it over to you, and hopefully Amy can join us soon, and what do you have for us today?
Hi, yes, good morning everybody, and I don't know, I hope that everybody here on this in this convention is from obviously from California, but I am happy to be here and to be invited to speak. I represent basically two organizations, but they all have connections with HICAP, the Health Insurance Counseling and Advocacy Program. I am a training and educator for also California Health Advocates, and that is how you found me, because California Health Advocates is the association that many of the local HICAP programs in California belong to, and I give them Medicare training. So what is HICAP? Health Insurance Counseling and Advocacy Program is the federal version of SHIP, State Health Insurance Assistance Program. So that this program is funded by the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services through the Administration on Community Living. And the funds come from the federal government to California, the California Department of Aging, and then it is disseminated among the area agencies on aging. And what the purpose of the HICAP is, incidentally, California was the first state in the union that introduced this concept of Medicare counseling, and the federal government picked up the model. So we provide counseling to those who are on Medicare or soon to be on Medicare about their healthcare coverage options. And I'm sure that a lot of you on this call are either approaching Medicare age due to 65, or maybe they are receiving Social Security disability income and eligibility for Medicare becomes effective on the 25th month. So what do you do when you are approaching the Medicare world, you've got to call HICAP, because we are the unbiased source for information about how to get your healthcare coverage if you're not working, because some people still are working beyond their Medicare eligible age and they can delay Medicare enrollment. But all of those details would be shared with people calling us. And I have shared with your association some fact sheets that I hope that will be disseminated. But I want to give you the California Health Advocates website, and that is cahealthadvocates.org. And we have a plethora of information. You can sign up for our newsletters. Also, the California Department of Aging has a site on HICAP, but it's not as friendly and as fully comprehensive as California Health Advocates. So I'm going to give you an example. Many people are afraid of Medicare. They don't know what to do. They get bombarded by mail from the insurance industry. And you see the ads on television. You see the mail that you get. And unfortunately, you will get also some unsolicited calls that sound like maybe they are valid. There's a lot of fraud happening in Medicare. The area agencies on aging in California host in each area, every county in the state of California has access, or every person living in every county has access to a local HICAP program to not only find out what the individual's options are, but learn also about when you can change your coverage. How does Medi-Cal work with Medicare? As you know, Medi-Cal is changing significantly, but once a person becomes eligible for Medicare, Medicare becomes primary to Medi-Cal. And so prescription drug benefits through the Part D as in David now falls on the shoulders of the Medicare side. So that information, the HICAP program can explain, do you want to be in regular Medicare, meaning also original Medicare? Do you want a Medicare supplement? Do you want to have a prescription drug plan? Or if you're covered by health insurance through either a former employer, like some are retired from the state, some are retired like I was, formerly an AT&T employee. And when I became eligible for Medicare, everybody's situation is different. Because we're advocates, we say, don't listen to the insurance industry. Come to HICAP first, so that we can do a one-on-one counseling, either by phone or in person, depending on the HICAPs. And as I said, there is a HICAP program that represents every county in California. There is an 800 line, 800-434-0222. And when a person calls that number, it directs them to their local HICAP. Sometimes it's directed to the state Department of Aging because they don't know. For example, many people have cell phones and they move. So if they got a cell phone in Los Angeles and now they live in San Diego, it may direct them to the Los Angeles HICAP, but that's where you'd be able to get reconnected with your local area, because the local HICAP knows what plans, for example, Medicare Advantage plans, are available in that particular county. And we just say, okay, do not just fall for the cheapest plan, because cheap could be bad for you, because you may not have the right coverage for your medications. Medicare is changing all the time. And the I train the HICAPs and update them on all of the new trends. We train California Health Advocates has a grant to educate individuals on how to prevent, detect, and report healthcare fraud. Because there is so much bad marketing, the federal government has instituted some more breaks, if you may, on marketing, but the bad guys are still going to do what they do. They will buy a list of Medicare numbers. They will buy lists from the credit bureaus of those that are approaching 65. So if you wonder, how is it that they know about me? It's because they have bought a lot of information either on the dark web or through credit bureaus and the experience and so forth to do their marketing. Now, I don't mean that the insurance companies are bad. I am talking about behavior of the insurance agents and other marketeers. So that's another thing that HICAP can help you. Because, for example, if a person responded to a telemarketer, or they called, they saw a TV ad that said, come and, you know, this is the plan, the best thing since sliced bread, and it offers a debit card, it offers this, this, and that. Well, who knows? If you enroll in that plan, you may not be able to access your local providers. So then the HICAP program can help unravel maybe the mess that an individual has gotten themselves into and then try and unravel. And I'll give you an example of some of the cases that I have been involved with because it might resonate with you. I got a call on April 1st, as a matter of fact, from my local HICAP in Butte County, say, hey, Tatiana, can you help this client? There's a problem with CVS that they cannot access or get their diabetic test strips because diabetic test strips and the little lancets and the unit to measure their blood sugars is covered by Medicare Part B. It's not a prescription. It's for benefit. It's part of their Part B medical benefit. So I said, fine, yes. So I call the client. She had already written down a whole chronology of her efforts in trying to find out why CVS cannot dispense her diabetic test strips. So I call CVS, and this client had already done all of their homework, called Medicare. No, you did not have a continuous glucose monitor that was paid for by Medicare. We don't know why that those diabetic test strips are being rejected for processing. So when I talked to the CVS person, you know, in their pharmacy, she processed a dummy test for the diabetic test strips. And yes, up came a code that says, no, she's got a continuous glucose monitor. And I told her, I said, it is confirmed by Medicare that this person does not have a continuous glucose monitor device. And so she said, okay, let me call my CVS help desk and see whether we can unravel this. And I said, perfect. Please let me know. And this way I can communicate with the beneficiary. Well, 2-3 days come by and I don't hear back from CVS. And so I was about to call CVS, and then I saw an email from the client. Tatiana, thank you so much. CVS was able to fix their claim processing system, and now I can get my diabetic test strips. You see, so it takes somebody in the know with a little bit of initiative to know the backdoor function of how Medicare works, and that is what HICAP is all about. And so this is why. So we even have at HICAP insurance agents calling us to make sure that they have their understanding correctly, because there are certain times of the year that a person can buy a Medicare supplement, like a Plan G, for example, without underwriting. And that's something that I'm sure that a lot of people on this audience have certain pre-existing conditions. So when you're new to Medicare, you have 6 months to buy a Medicare supplement without consideration of your pre-existing conditions. Many people don't know that. The insurance industry and the insurance agent should know that, but the average person doesn't know that. And so, and then if they miss that 6 months, what do they do? Well, if they're perfectly healthy, they can still try and buy a Medicare supplement through their broker, but maybe they will go through underwriting and they would be rejected for pre-existing conditions. On the other hand, if a person has been on Kaiser all their life, I've had clients tell me, oh, I was born into Kaiser, I married into Kaiser, and now I'm aging into Kaiser. Well, that Kaiser plan now is causing them a lot of problems. How do I get out of it? Well, there's certain times of the year that a person can. So HICAP knows all the ifs, ands, or buts of Medicare, how to change your coverage, how to appeal, and that's another thing too. We are the masters of appeals because a lot of people don't know that they have appeal rights. When I do presentations, I said, never accept no for an answer. And we empower Medicare beneficiaries and their caregivers to be self-advocates also. So that is why HICAP is so important. And if a person moves from one state to the other, there is a similar program in every state in the union. So I'm open now for questions. And if you wanted to know more, go on to California Health Advocates website you've got my contact information, and so you can go through your channels to ask questions too. But Jeff or Steve, whoever is the moderator, I'm open for questions.
Okay, well, thank you very much. A great presentation, and I just everything you say about HICAP is so true. When I first came into the system and got on Medicare, it was just a mirage. A mirage, that's not the right word. Anyway, it was I was unable to understand it. So I'm so glad you guys are around, and because I had a very, very good experience. Had both a phone appointment and an in-person at two different times, and it was great. Andrea, do we have any raised hands for questions?
We do not at the moment. Folks, get those hands up. This is a really important issue and a good opportunity to speak with someone who's very knowledgeable. So if you have questions, please raise your hands.
And while people are thinking, I just want to add, Medicare, regular Medicare, does not cover vision or dental. Many health plans, Medicare Advantage plans, do offer that too. So, yes. Good. There's a hand up.
John Ross has his hand raised.
Okay, I have a question. Can you repeat what you said about having 6 months to buy a supplement without having to worry about pre-existing conditions?
Yes, thank you for that question. And that is something that I'm glad to repeat. When a person gets Medicare, they get a Medicare card. And there's an effective date on that card. Let's say that your 65th birthday month is May, anytime during May. So you have 6 months from the effective date of Part B to get a Medicare supplement, whichever supplementary plan you would like. because in California, there are about 20 different companies that sell Medicare supplements. And the insurance agent with whom you may be dealing with knows that they you have 6 months to enroll in a Medicare supplement, and they cannot ask any questions about your pre-existing conditions except for one small condition. If you come into Medicare without any health insurance, let's say a person never had covered California or never was covered by an employer plan, basically, the insurance companies could put a waiting period for up to 3 to 6 months to cover that specific condition before they start paying the claims for that condition. But if you were fully insured prior to coming into Medicare, regardless of what type of insurance you had, then they cannot put a waiting period on covering your, because Medicare is an 80-20 plan. Medicare pays their 80% after the Part B deductible, and that 20% could be covered by, let's say, a G plan. So they cannot ask health questions. That is at age 65. Now, if you are receiving Social Security disability income before age 65, and you become eligible for Medicare on the 25th month, also, as long as you do not have end-stage renal disease, meaning kidney failure, meaning the insurance companies, cannot underwrite you, cannot consider your pre-existing conditions. If you are SSDI, not SSI, SSDI, and get Medicare before age 65, and you do have end-stage renal disease, the insurance companies will underwrite you, and they will most likely reject that application for covering that 20%. However, the Medicare Advantage plans, the Medicare plans that cover Part A and Part B and often the Part D, and they're also known as Part C plans, they don't consider pre-existing conditions. So if you miss that six-month window, then you can still try and apply, but they will ask health questions. And if it's every company has different underwriting criteria, meaning different questions that they ask. And that's why we suggest don't go to an exclusive Blue Shield or Blue Cross agent. Go to a broker that represents many companies because they know the underwriting criteria for all of these companies. Hope I answered your question.
Yeah, thank you. That's a lot to unpack, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, who we got next?
Okay, next we have Artis Basin.
Okay, I do not live in California anymore. So do you know what the website would be for the national database? I live in Colorado.
Oh, in Colorado? Okay, so are you on Medicare now?
Yes.
Okay. And do you get that Medicare and You handbook?
Yes.
Okay. On the back page, on the back cover, is your local SHIP phone number.
Yeah.
And then also it's called the SHIP SHIPTA.org. You can get the phone number for your state's SHIP.
Okay, because I've noticed my Blue Cross Blue Shield has been going up every year, and it's now like $270 a month.
Okay, and let me tell you about that too. And so is it a supplement plan?
Yes.
And which kind of supplement is it? What lettered plan?
Oh, F, which they don't make anymore. They don't do it.
Correct. So the F plan nationally was frozen in 2020. And let me explain to you, for those that are, are knowledge junkies, and I always, share my brain with people. Insurance is based on how many people are enrolled in that plan. The premiums is based on how many are enrolled in that plan within that company, and also on the claims. So because they cannot sell new F plans, the population base that they can spread their losses starts shrinking, and consequently the premiums go up. So you might want to talk to your broker and find out what a G plan would cost you. And normally you can downgrade your coverage, because going from an F to a G means that now you would be responsible for the Part B deductible. This year it's $240. But the difference in the premium between the F and the G on an annual basis far exceeds the cost of that $240 deductible. So you would be saving a ton of money.
Now, would it be a problem if you have existing conditions?
No, usually not. Usually downgrading. And this is where the Colorado SHIP would know the underwriting criteria for changing plans. So, for example, if a person moves to another state, that gives you the right to change your coverage. If you move within the state, it gives you the right to change your coverage. But usually going down in coverage, meaning that now you would be responsible for that Part B deductible, may not require underwriting. And every state has the ability to improve on the federal guarantee right. So in California, it's very liberal, and we've enhanced the guarantee right. So, for example, we have what is called the birthday rule. 60 days following your birthday, you can change plans and change companies as long as you do not upgrade. So if you go from an L to a G, they would underwrite you. But if you go from a G to a G or a G to an L plan, they would not. So check with your local SHIP, and they would know specifically what the underwriting criteria would be for downgrading, if any, to a G. But you said that the company is normally it's Blue Cross or Blue Shield. So on your card, if it says Blue Cross, Blue Shield, that must be just unique to Colorado, because in California, there is no such thing as Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Well, it's Wellmark Blue Cross Blue Shield, and I purchased it when I lived in Iowa.
Oh.
Before I moved to California.
Okay.
And then moved to Colorado.
Yes. So Medicare supplements are portable, but this is where you had the opportunity to make changes because you moved without consideration of your pre-existing conditions. So how long ago did you move to Colorado?
It'll be just 6 months.
Yeah, I would definitely suggest you, first of all, contact your Blue Cross plan, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and ask them what a G plan would cost. Don't say that you want to change it, because there are many companies that sell a G plan. And then you contact your Colorado SHIP and find out what the underwriting criteria is to downgrade, if any. to a G plan. Because you will not find another F plan at a cheaper rate.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Tatiana, can you explain to us the difference between Medicare Advantage and Medicare Supplement?
Yes.
Those words back and forth.
Right. Okay, good. Within the Medicare world, a person can opt to have their entire coverage taken care of by a health plan, meaning their hospital Part A, their medical Part B, and their prescription Part D, all in one company, and that is called a Medicare Advantage plan. So instead of billing Medicare for the claims, the providers bill the company for all of the healthcare services. And how does that happen? Because we taxpayers are giving through the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services a ton of money to these Medicare Advantage plans to cover all of your Medicare Part A, Part B, and in many cases, Part D, the prescription drugs, all into one company. And Kaiser's an example. Okay, but within a Medicare Advantage plan, you have different types of Medicare Advantage plans. You have HMOs, Health Maintenance Organization. You have a PPO, a Preferred Provider Organization. And in some states, they have the private fee-for-service plans. And in other states, they may have a Medicare savings type of a plan. So that's why it's important that they check with their local SHIP. On the other hand, if you don't want to be limited to a network of providers, because that's another thing about Medicare Advantage plans, you are limited to a network of providers if you are in an HMO, and there are a variety of HMOs, or if you are in a PPO, you have one level of copay if you're in network and another level of copay if you're out of network. But you're always beholden to that company. Medicare won't pay any claims unless it's hospice in some cases. In original Medicare, you have the freedom of going any provider in the United States without pre-approvals. Yes, there may have to be some courtesy referrals and so forth. And now the Medicare, and that's called original Medicare, where let's say a hospital will bill Medicare directly for inpatient services under Part A or outpatient services in Part B. Doctors would submit the claim to Part B and Medicare would pay that provider directly. So there are two different payment systems and two different types of accessing providers. And that's why it's so important to know that Medicare beneficiaries have choices of how to get their healthcare coverage. If a person doesn't mind being in a network and being constrained to pre-approvals and prior authorizations, and maybe they want extra coverage like vision and dental, yes, you could join a Medicare Advantage plan. Whereas in original Medicare, if you wanted vision and dental, you would have to get a rider plan for that.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Andrea, who's our next hand?
Oh. This is Kastner. Thank you. My husband and I have a senior advantage plan with Kaiser.
Okay.
And my question doesn't really relate to that specifically. We also have long-term care insurance that we purchased through the federal government when we were employees.
Uh-huh.
My husband is in a memory care facility, and he's been in a facility for a little over 3 years.
Okay.
And the long-term care insurance has paid out very generously for his coverage.
Great.
However, the long-term care will probably expire. We'll use the full benefit for him in 2 years. And so I'm wondering, after 2 years, will payments revert to my savings, or would he be eligible for Medi-Cal?
Okay, that's a very good question. And in California, we do have trained counselors that will be able to analyze your policy to the degree that you may not know how to.
Okay.
And so if you live in California?
Yes, I do.
Okay, yes. And you're very fortunate that you were able to get a long-term care insurance policy, because they're not really selling them anymore. There may be only one or two companies, and try and go through underwriting, you know. Oh my gosh. So yeah. Definitely I have analyzed policies also, because I, and incidentally, in California, there are several levels of certification within the HICAP program. And so it requires additional training. And so, every HICAP should have at least one counselor that has been certified and trained to analyze long-term care insurance policies. And they can read between the lines on the intent, because often the language in that policy is legalese, mm-hmm. and you have to go into the intent of that policy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I keep getting, you know, periodic, whenever I have a payment for him, I get a letter saying you've used so much of your benefit and you yes. have so much remaining.
Right.
And so, yeah, so when I get, I should contact someone from HICAP to yes. look at the policy.
Correct. And which county do you live in?
Alameda County.
Oh, yes. I know the Alameda HICAP very well. They are excellent. As a matter of fact, their program manager was on my interview board for the... yeah, she's one of the original HICAP managers there. So I know her program is very good.
Okay. Okay. Assuming, though, that the plan does run out of money... Yeah.
Then yes. Okay. I'm glad you brought that up again. Yes. If that policy has used up all of its benefits, or you've used up all of the benefits, eligibility for Medi-Cal for long-term care has improved significantly in California, because now they don't, meaning the state, Medi-Cal, does not count your assets.
Okay.
Or eligibility. And, but it is still income based, and you may have a share of cost. Now, having said that, generally speaking, Medi-Cal does not cover assisted living. However, there are in some counties, because anybody who is eligible for Medi-Cal without a share of cost, meaning without a deductible, and that deductible, a monthly share of cost, is based on how much over income eligibility you are. And if you want to, I'm just looking here for my cheat sheet on the eligibility criteria. Okay, so, and I'll just give you just general numbers, okay?
Sure.
Okay, if you're able, if a person is able to, just for basic Medi-Cal, and they would assess both husband and wife, gross income cannot exceed $2,351 for the couple. Now, Medi-Cal for long-term care is different. So if there is an assisted living waiver locality, or if that particular assisted living facility is one of those that are in the assisted living waiver program of Medi-Cal, the nursing home spouse can keep about $35, and the at-home spouse can keep $3,854. Gross income.
I see.
Okay. But that is something for you would have to apply through the county for that Medi-Cal for long-term care. So definitely, if you know how long you've got left on that long-term care policy, it's to start.
Because it's from all of us, so that kind of...
There's somebody talking.
Guys, if you are on, we have a couple of people waiting to speak. If you're unmuted, please, please be aware that we can hear you. Thank you.
Okay, good. All right. Anyway, so definitely, yes, the HICAP counselor in Alameda County can help you kind of go through the weeds of that too. But this is a general, now we're talking about long-term care planning. Please make sure that everybody has a durable power of attorney for healthcare, meaning an advance directive. And I highly encourage that you have a will. And for those that have some forms of assets, to also get a trust. And just don't go to any trust attorney. Go to a certified elder law attorney. And sometimes your local HICAP may have a list, or you can go to the California bar and find out. Okay.
Okay. Who's our next hand?
Okay. I'm going to go let Rob go ahead. Rob, I'm sorry. You're on the panelist side. I didn't see you. We have a couple of hands.
No problem.
Go ahead.
Sure. Tatiana, you piqued my curiosity earlier when you mentioned about people who've been with Kaiser sort of for a lifetime. That's my situation. And when I stopped working, I still had my Kaiser coverage, and I got the, I'm pretty sure it's called the Kaiser Senior Advantage.
Correct.
$86 a month or so, and it includes vision and dental, a supplement.
Yeah.
And what did you mean by that? What are they having some problems?
Gosh, depending on where you are in California, I've had horrible, horrible stories of waiting months for a referral or poor care coordination, especially for people who have who are treated for behavioral or mental health conditions. Mm-hmm. And we say that you have the right, anybody that's in a Medicare Advantage plan, to file a complaint, whether it be a complaint about the manner of responsiveness or the quality of care. Start off with a company, but then you can call 1-800-MEDICARE and file complaints against the company. Many people are so used to going to Kaiser that they go along with those lumps, you know, the bumps in the road.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But it is for people who have been lifetime members. You would, getting out of Kaiser, you're going to have to try and find new providers that have open practice. And so if you want to, you know, I've had people die on me because they did not want to get out of their Kaiser plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. Good to hear. And I may have to think of a new strategy here later on this year.
Well, yeah, during open enrollment, October 15th through December 7th is your opportunity.
Okay, thanks, Tatiana.
You're welcome, Rob.
Okay, and who's our next question?
Okay, we have a hand, area code 510.
Hi, Steve Medelson. Tatiana, thank you very much for this interesting proposal. I wanted to just probe briefly the possible role of ICAP advocacy with respect to other kinds of decisions that Medicare might make. For example, does ICAP have any potential advocacy role in a decision, let's say, to deny a benefit not based on ab initio ineligibility, but based, for example, upon a so-called individualized decision of lack of medical necessity?
Oh, okay. Because Medicare is based on medical necessity, I've had situations where maybe they are patients of a university hospital, and the university hospital feels that a specific treatment for a condition that was meant for another condition may help that person. So, yes, there is a right within the Medicare system for the individual to say, I want to get this service, but the provider has to give you a form called the Advanced Beneficiary Notice that allows you, and it informs the provider, that you are willing to take that financial risk if Medicare doesn't pay. And what it's called, it's a demand bill, because the only way in original Medicare that you can appeal a denial is if they submit the claim to Medicare. Did I answer your question?
Partly, yes. In fact, that's exactly why people have been unable to get assistive technology, because they've been unable to front the upfront costs in many cases.
Oh,
even though they
yes.
felt that under the law they might have succeeded. But my question was slightly of a different direction, namely, does, in the case of advocacy around such issues, does ICAP have a role?
You know, we usually do it through the association that represents that that assisted living technology, because there are many adaptive devices that Medicare may cover. But for example, for those that are visually impaired, there are many devices, obviously, that allow a person to read and to view TV and so forth. That is not related to medical necessity. But I will give you another example. Many years ago, I had a client who had, I don't recall whether it was cerebral palsy or some other condition that required them to be a wheelchair user. And the only way that that person could get out of their home was with ramps. And ramps to get in and out of their house or in and out of their van. Medicare doesn't cover that, and neither would a Medicare Advantage plan cover that. So I contacted a disability rights organization in San Francisco just to get a sense for if you can prove that this person's medical situation will not deteriorate if you were able to get, and this person lived on the second or third story in an apartment building in San Francisco. They were able, meaning this advocacy, not passages, not high cap, but because through California Health Advocates, I was able also to get in touch. And they said, yeah, we were able to show to Medicare that otherwise this person would be totally a prisoner of their apartment, because they wouldn't be able to have access to doctors. And it happened to be a Medicare Advantage plan. And they paid for this particular elevator, whether it was on the stairs or whatever, to be able to, for that individual, would be able to go out. In another situation, these ramps in and out of the van or the house, you have to prove that you would save the system, meaning Medicare, money with this particular assisted device. So as far as advocacy, you know, California Health Advocates supported the licensure of the LCSW's licensed clinical social workers. Up to last year, they were not allowed to submit claims to Medicare for counseling. Through national advocacy and their association, we supported their efforts to get that designation to be an accepted billable condition by that discipline, the LCSW.
Okay. Thank you very much for your answer and for your presentation.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you. Okay, Andrea, who's our next hand?
Okay, we have one more hand, and that is Roger Peterson.
I just wanted to, I think it's kind of ironic. While I was listening to this discussion, my phone rang, and it was some guy saying, we want to send you your new Medicare card.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, yes. That is...
And I've been getting dozens of these calls. I don't know what I did to deserve it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's a random because they're doing it on a random basis. But Medicare is not sending out new plastic cards, period. And if you're able to capture that phone number, please call our senior Medicare patrol project. And I've got to give you that phone number. Well, the phone number is on our website. I'm sorry. I try and keep as much needed information in my brain, but sometimes it doesn't. If you go on the CA Health Advocates, if you go onto the CA Health Advocates website, and or you,
hey, Margie, I don't have it.
Well, that's
Jeff. You're unmuted.
I'm sorry.
Please.
Yeah. So I'm also going to give you California Health Advocates phone number, and they will also give you the Senior Medicare Patrol phone number, which is in that office too. It's 916-465-8104. Because of our grant with Senior Medicare Patrol, we are reporting all of these cases to the federal government.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, Jeff, you're up.
Great presentation. Thank you so much, Tatiana. I don't want a complete answer to this question. I really want to know whether this situation is something that HICAP can help me with.
Sure.
My wife is also blind, and I'm not quite sure when she will become eligible for Medicare because she doesn't have enough work quarters, but she currently gets her health care through my state employment retirement, which I am.
Okay.
And that's where my Medicare comes from. So my question is, a situation like that that's sort of complicated, is that something that HICAP can, you know, figure all out for us?
Yes.
Or do I need to go through the state?
No. Okay. So number one, Medicare eligibility is based on your work quarters or your spouse's work quarters. So Social Security is the enrollment agency for Medicare. And they can determine at age 65 her Medicare eligibility based on your work history.
Okay.
Okay.
That's great, because I'll just keep her coverage under my state employment until she obviously turns Medicare eligible. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
All righty, great. Do we have any more hands?
We
Sandra?
Do not have any hands at the moment, Steve.
Okay. Tatiana, this has been fantastic. I really appreciate you spending your Saturday morning with us here. A lot of great information, and you know, even for folks outside of California listening on ACB Media, I think given us all some great ideas to look for more information. And we'll definitely get the fact sheet distributed to our members, and I thank you for that. And, you know, thanks for everything that HICAP does. Like I say, they really, you know, I was a little bit freaked out, I guess would be the best way to put it, when I became Medicare eligible due to being on SSDI and wasn't sure where to go. And these guys, you know, lots of good facts and basically common folks. And you guys are great. So thank you. And thanks for coming to present to us today.
Oh, you're welcome. And let me just add to that. If you have local chapters that you would like to engage California Health Advocates to present, all you have to do is contact our office, and especially on the Senior Medicare Patrol, because we're really doing a lot of outreach on fraud avoidance. And so they can call us. And on our website, there is a section to request a presentation.
Steve, we have a couple of more hands that just came up.
Okay. Can you stay with us a few more minutes?
Can you stay with us just
Yeah, I've got a commitment around 11-ish or so. So
you're fine. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Quick question from 510.
Dirk Neihardt from Berkeley. Thanks so much. You're doing other people are saying thank you. My question is, where do we say thank you to Medicare providers? We learned today how we can complain, but where do we say thank you?
Oh, you know what? That is a very, you know, different question. Usually, medical providers belong to a medical group. So if you have a doctor, for example, that is part of, I don't know, Sutter Health or Kaiser Health or whatever, you can submit a, you know, kudos. 1-800-MEDICARE can, Medicare is doing an ongoing, and is doing more now, on assessing quality of care of providers, because they all have measurements now that Medicare is very focused on, meaning the federal government, on quality of care. And so there are doctors are now grouping together with accountable care organizations, and they're getting more money from Medicare to give you good coordination of care. But to say thank you to your doctor, you know, you can write a letter to that doctor's office because they love to hear from their patients too, and maybe their medical group.
Okay, great. And we'll make this our last question. Who's our last hand?
David, go ahead.
Okay, this is David Mandel. And Tatiana, thank you so much for your wonderful presentation.
Oh, thank you.
It's one of the best high-cap presentations I've ever heard.
Oh, my God.
I belong to the California Alliance for Retired Americans, or CARA. I don't know if you've heard of us.
Yes, I have.
But I was wondering, I know that, I was wondering if California Health Advocates is taking a position with regard to single-payer health care or guaranteed universal health care.
Yeah. No, we are all about affordable and comprehensive coverage, but we are not taking that position because it's very political. We let other, because we're supporting the high caps, we just can't take that position. We cannot take a position. We are just about accessibility and affordability. And that's why we're very connected with other partners like the Center for Medicare Advocacy, the Medicare Rights Center, the National Council on Aging. As a matter of fact, it would be the larger organizations that would.
Right.
Yeah, we're just too small for
that. Have you been concerned at all with ACO REACH and the effort to try to? There are many, many people who have been put into Medicare Advantage plans without their consent, even if they wanted traditional Medicare, things like that. Have you been involved with that?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And that usually happens because they responded to a telemarketing call.
Right.
And yeah, they should be calling our senior Medicare patrol or the local HICAP, because if somebody has been in a plan, unfortunately, for over a year, it's pretty difficult to make a case. But Medicare now has instituted some more special election periods. And so definitely call the HICAP if anybody recently succumbed to that, or our California Health Advocate Senior Medicare Patrol.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Tatiana, thank you so much. This has been an awesome presentation. Of course, the recording will be up on our website in a bit. I think it's going to be a great resource for folks. And thank you so much for, as I said, spending the time with us here today. A lot of good information. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, and enjoy the rest of your conference. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
All right. I don't see Amy Castro in the room, unless she has come in on the attendee side under a phone number or whatever. Amy, if you're here, if you want to raise your hand.
I actually just sent her an email because I'm not seeing her. But Amy, if you're here on the attendee side, please raise your hand.
Okay. In the meantime, I guess we'll go ahead and play our final Hall of Fame recording. Is Lisa available for?
Lisa, can you give us a door prize? Are you there?
I am. I'm here.
Okay. All right. Yeah, let's do a door prize. If you've got a minute, if you can. Take one hat off and put the other hat on here.
Tear yourself away from the tax information.
Oh, yes. I can't wait for the 15th.
Yeah.
Let me see if we can go ahead and I try to share my screen here. So we have another $25 gift card generously given by the Fresno chapter. And let's spin the wheel. So I'm going to go ahead and spin. And the winner is Andy Baracco. Congratulations, Andy.
All right. One of my chapter members. Okay, Lisa, thank you. Let's go ahead and play the Hall of Fame recording. Give Amy a couple more minutes to come in here, and we'll see what happens. But, let's go ahead and hear our next history project for this morning.
Welcome to the Hall of Fame History Project as we celebrate our 90th anniversary.
Born May 2nd, 1925, Catherine Skivers, or Kathy to those who knew and loved her, attended the Missouri School for the Blind. She moved with the man she married to California in 1949. 1 year later, that same man offered her a one-way bus ticket back to Missouri and left her. Kathy refused the ticket, instead opting to stay and care for her two young children. As a single mother, she raised five sons to become wonderful adults. A fond memory of her family is gathering and singing as Kathy played the piano. She played for fun, for family and CCB events, and played for pay when she needed the money. Kathy worked with CCB for over 70 years. The CCB became a part of NFB in 1940. When CCB began to have problems with NFB, Kathy was one of the co-founders of the American Council of the Blind during the breakaway from the NFB in 1961. Kathy's first vocational rehabilitation counselor was none other than Alan Jenkins, and she most notably worked for the IRS for 19 years. She was chief steward for the last 5 years, retiring in 1990 at age 65. Kathy was elected as CCB president in 1997, serving for 5 years, and becoming the first woman CCB president, paving the way for others, such as Donna Pomerantz and Judy Wilkinson. Even though she was already dealing with other multiple disabilities and in a wheelchair. During Kathy's presidency, she worked with James Willows, president of the National Federation of the Blind of California, through legislation. SB 5 established blind field services under the Department of Rehabilitation and the Services to the Deaf and Hard of Hearing in 2013. Kathy also was instrumental in work with Lainey Feingold for ATMs accessibility, though she said she had never used them because it is about equality for all persons to have access to their money. I got to know Kathy best through my work with her through the Ellen Murphy Trust Fund, which she and Ellen Murphy negotiated. Along with much history, Kathy related how the trust came about and the struggles involved in the finalization of this trust fund. People have described Kathy as someone who is not afraid to speak her mind, and you always knew where you stood with her, yet someone who is humble. She worked tirelessly from her home office in Hayward, California, simply because someone was there to give her a helping hand when she needed it. Kathy truly deserved her induction into the CCB Hall of Fame in 2013. She is truly instrumental in the betterment of lives and kept CCB solvent during her presidency. She thought outside the box and was innovative. Kathy Skivers left us on December 12, 2019 at 94 years of age. During her stay in hospice, with her gravelly voice, she talked about all of the projects she had yet to complete. She continued to come up with innovative ideas, suggestions, and solutions. I believe Kathy is looking down upon us, her CCB, and willing us to stay strong, grow, agitate when necessary, and advocate always.
Mac Riley was an English major, a writer. Mac did a lot of teaching. He taught at the Braille Institute, and he taught English, and he taught Braille, and he taught all kinds of stuff. I might add, one of the interesting things to me about Mac Riley is that he was Bernice's previous boyfriend, and I got to know him, and we were both engaged at different times and independently in organizing blind students. I organized blind students in the Federation, in the 1960s, and I got thrown out of the Federation and came into the council and found him organizing students in the council and joined in the effort. Unfortunately, Mac didn't last too long. Some of us, it seems as though, just keep on living and living, and others live, unfortunately, very short lives. But he was a very interesting guy, good storyteller, and all kinds of things.
We'll be back later with another episode from our Hall of Fame History Project.
Okay. Again, thank you guys so much. Those are really been fascinating all weekend long. Okay, I don't see Amy in the room, unfortunately. Looking forward to hearing what she had to say about 211 and other things. So we'll have to catch up with that somehow. But at this point, I think we're going to end our morning session. Thank you all for coming. Thanks, Andrea, for Zoom hosting, and thanks, Larry, Steve, for streaming to ACB Media. We will have our paratransit session at 1:30 this afternoon. That's 1:30 Pacific for those of you listening around the country on ACB Media. And then, that'll go for a couple of hours. And then, this evening at 5:30 Pacific is our awards. And invite you to tune in for that and for the business meeting tomorrow morning. And throughout all this, we'll have more, of these great history, bits and, more dirt prizes and all that kind of good stuff. So we will say good morning from California, and catch up with all of you in a couple of hours. And-